Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Preparing for Disaster in America, on Tuesday, February 5th, 2013. I'm your host, Joe Terry, and the South Bay Show is brought to you by Tapas and Vino. Located in the heart of Riviera Village, Tapas and Vino offers an idyllic location to meet and eat and has quickly become a favorite destination of local foodies. Opened in October 2011, this charming bistro offers an eclectic menu of small plates, salads, soups, entrees for lunch and dinner daily. In addition, brunch is served every Saturday and Sunday with endless, yes, that's right, endless mimosas and bellinis. This popular the popular outdoor patio boasts a vibrant scene each evening and features live music every Tuesday night. The extensive wine list offers varietals from regions around the globe, and brew enthusiasts will appreciate the comprehensive beer selection. Tapas and Vino also hosts monthly wine and/or beer education events, provides off-premise catering, and has a private dining room for small groups. Tapas and Vino is currently running a Not Just Tapas and Vino campaign. For listeners of the South Bay Show, mention the South Bay Show or South Bay by Jackie and receive 25% off of a lunch or Saturday and Sunday brunch entree. Be sure to visit the Tapas and Vino Facebook page for weekly specials and discounts. Tapas and Vino is located at 1729 South Catalina Avenue in Redondo Beach. For more information, visit the website at tapasyvino.com. That's TAPASYVINO.com. tapasyvino.com. Or call 310-791-8200. That's 310-791-8200. You can find out more about us at facebook.com/ The South Bay Show, or visit our website at thesouthbayshow.com. Preparing for disaster in America. This is a subject that can never be treated lightly, but we do our best to make it interesting, engaging, and yes, even entertaining, to learn the few key skills and primary information that could save your life, your family's lives, that of a neighbor in a time of crisis, or the life of a treasured pet. Our mission is to engage hearts and minds and build knowledge and skills to help you prepare for whatever may come. This show is a true collaboration with Solid Roots in the Community and a partnership with the Official Disaster Preparation Establishment. Our producer is the president of the local Manhattan Beach Community Emergency Response Team Association, Mr. George Butts. Hey, George, how are you doing today?
Joe, good morning. I am much better than I was last Tuesday. Thank you.
Yes. Well, we're very glad to have you back and whole and in your full Paul Harvey radio voice.
Well, hopefully my Paul radio voice will will find its way back to what I used to sound like here.
Yeah. And of course, with us today is my co-host and owner-producer writer of South Bay by Jackie.com, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I am doing well this morning, Joe, and George, glad to have you back.
Thank you.
So we are continuing a series, I guess, because last week Anita Mathis was on from Atlanta, from AMA Communications Corporation, and that was a very highly rated show. Also talking about business continuity and business risk assessment for small businesses. We have another someone in that same vein again today. Jackie, who's our guest today?
Yes, we do. Our guest this morning is John Stagel. John is a certified business continuity professional and corporate consultant for Belfour USA, the largest disaster response company in the United States and part of Belfour, the largest disaster response company in the world. John works with corporate clients in the planning for and actual response to disasters caused by fires, earthquakes, terrorism, and other factors that interrupt business operations. He uses his 18 years as an executive in the insurance industry and more than 20 years in the disaster response industry to assist companies in the development of the most cost-effective recovery strategies for their companies. John has been a vice president of strategic planning as well as a consultant in the field of business continuity. He was on the board of directors for the North American Society for Corporate Planning, and his work has been recognized in Marquis's Who's Who in finance and industry. He was a member of the editorial advisory board for Continuity Insights magazine for 10 years. He has taught financial economics at the University of Baltimore, lectured on strategic planning, and speaks and writes regularly on the subject of strategic business recovery planning. He is currently a member of the Canadian Center for Emergency Preparedness, working with business continuity experts around the world. John worked in Army Intelligence Collection for 3 years, including 1 year in Vietnam. He received his BA from John Carroll University in Cleveland, and his MBA in finance from DePaul University in Chicago. He has hands-on experience in the actual recovery of operations for clients in manufacturing, financial services, municipalities, and property management firms, to name just a few, and has worked disasters created by tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, floods, and fires. Welcome to the show, John. We are so glad you could join us this morning.
Thank you very much, Jackie.
Thank you very much for joining us today, John. It's a pleasure to have you, and we extend this 2-week sort of run of business continuity experts, we really have hit a nerve, or people are really interested in this subject. And it's not surprising because the economy is coming back. All the indicators are there that businesses are hiring again, are looking looking at the future and seeing a little bit brighter picture than they have in the recent past. Can you give us an idea of what Belfour does as a company and how Belfour can help the typical business out there?
Belfour's role for corporations is to help them respond to get their physical assets back online. By that I mean their equipment that they use, the buildings, things of that nature. Their intellectual assets, records they may have on their computers and so forth, fall under somebody else's jurisdiction. But getting the computers running again and the actual buildings and hard assets they use are critical in the recovery process, because until you get your work environment back up and operational, you're working in a non-traditional, non-comfortable environment to deal with your customers, and that's just not efficient. So Belfour's role is to come in after a disaster for a client and interview them and find out what they need first. There are a lot of people out there who will come in and fix a building for you, but Belfour's forte is to do it in a tactical fashion, namely, from a business standpoint, what elements of your physical assets are most important at this time in order to preserve your market share position? Because if companies lose their customers, getting their physical assets back online is seldom enough to help them materially. So responding in a tactical fashion to the disaster improves their recovery time and their financial profile after the disaster.
Okay, so you've sat down with them, and you've previously identified before the disaster, presumably, what those critical physical assets are that have to be back up and running after a disaster, and of course Belfour does this not just here at home in the U.S., but around the world.
Yes, yes. In most instances, we do this on the fly because too many companies, and you've heard this before, I'm sure, from other guests, too many companies haven't done this prior planning. And so in many instances, it's something that we're responsible for helping them do on the fly. You got time for a quick story?
Yes.
We had a factory in the Dakotas. Their name and location is not critical. But they were down because of a fire. When I arrived, I noticed on the loading dock there were a bunch of boxes. And I went in and I talked to the general manager of the factory, and I said, what do you do here? He says, we produce aftermarket parts for cars and trucks. I said, oh, that's interesting. And I said, all those boxes out on the loading dock, what are they? He says, those are our products. We're sending them to mom and pop auto parts stores all over the country. I said, oh, interesting. Next question, critical question. Who's your key client? General Motors. I said, what? He said, General Motors. I said, when's your next delivery to General Motors? He said, in 2 weeks. I said, wrong. Your factory shut down. You had a fire. First thing we're going to do is we took all of those boxes, emptied them, put them in General Motors boxes, sent them to General Motors with a letter saying we had a fire, so we're delivering your order early. We then sent a letter to all the mom and pops, said we had a fire, so we're going to be late in your delivery. However, as soon as we're back up and operational, we'll overnight your order to you. End result, that company is still in business today. That company still has General Motors as its key client, and they lost 3% of the mom-and-pop shops around the United States. That's tactical recovery.
I think I see, and you're saying that they simply had not triaged where the most important where their inventory should go to maximize their recovery rate from this fire.
Not only that, but to maintain their key client, their right. revenue stream.
Right.
There was a gentleman who an old friend of mine was working for a Fortune 500 company, and the president told him, here's the way it works. You protect my revenue stream at all costs. If I've got my revenue, no disasters, too bad. If I lose my revenue, even the smallest disaster is catastrophic. So we have to start thinking in terms of revenue impact to the corporation. How do we reduce the revenue consequences from a disaster as quickly as possible? Because if they can keep their revenue, they can stay in business. If they lose it, even if we fix the building and the machinery inside and so forth, they eventually face the possibility of going out of business.
Right. Because they have fixed costs, and those fixed costs don't stop just because you can't produce product or...
You're absolutely right. The fixed costs are the killers.
Right.
The variable costs we can deal with, but it's the fixed costs that have to be dealt with.
Right. So John, we don't know a lot about Balfour. Just give us a history of the company and the idea of a global corporation. I mean, that's something that most people don't deal with every day. Tell us about how many different countries or what are some of the main theaters of operation in the world that you operate in?
Well, clearly the United States and Canada is the largest country that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
Between the United States and Canada, we have 130 offices here.
Mm-hmm.
We do not franchise. Mm-hmm. Those are all corporate offices. Those are our people, our employees, and our equipment. The company originally started over in Germany and someplace in the 1400s. It got into the disaster business sometime in the mid-1900s and tried to expand into the United States, which is difficult to do from Europe.
I'm sorry, John?
Yeah.
Did you say the 1400s?
Yes.
Balfour is a 700-year-old company?
Yes, but not as a disaster company. Okay.
Okay.
That's like the Middle Ages.
Yes.
But they were not in the disaster response business in that time. They ran barges through Europe delivering raw materials, so forth, as I understand it. Mm-hmm. It's an extraordinarily old company, but not doing what it does today. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it has a history of having done a number of different businesses over time and evolve into different product lines and service lines that were beneficial at that time in history. In any event, they came to the United States. They were having trouble penetrating the market, so they bought a company by the name of Inricon, which was headquartered in the Detroit area. Inricon became the biggest producer of disaster response business for them and eventually bought the German element out, and the world headquarters for Belfort today is in the Detroit area in Birmingham, Michigan. And from there, we run operations in England, Belgium, Italy, China, Australia, Japan. We're still working in Japan. Hawaii. What am I missing here? We're in Saudi Arabia. We're in. We're looking at opening an office in Russia right now. We're in Belgium. I may have said that already. Sweden and other countries around the world, including South America. We have an office in Chile now.
I see, and with such a long history, and you know, even the you know, early 1900s here in America is old for a company. 100 years is old for a company in the United States.
Hey, Joe, when you asked for a brief history of the company, you
yeah.
didn't expect that.
No. No, I mean...
It is misleading because most of that history is not relevant to what we do today.
Yeah.
That's the key. So.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it isn't like, you know, the monarchy in England, of course, right? Well, they've been doing the same thing since the 1250s.
Yeah.
Yeah, except they just found the third this week.
The third?
Yeah.
King. Oh.
Yeah, they just found his... They found out he was buried under a parking lot.
Oh, right. You're talking about the king of England who was featured
really
in Richard
one.
III,
yes.
Shakespeare's Richard III. And I forget what his name is, but he was called the Hunchback King.
But they're not sure that he was even hunchbacked.
Well, he did have a severe case of scoliosis, curvature of the spine.
Right.
And his DNA matches a known descendant of that line. So it is, in fact, a member of the family, if not the king himself.
Okay.
Okay, I just thought I'd throw that in there.
There
you, know?
There you go. No, I was watching that. Very interesting. So, John, we now know a little bit about the extent of Belfort's operations around the world, and they have many different areas that they operate in. But I mean, it's the primary business is disaster response and disaster mitigation. And as you say, many companies don't plan very well. So a company has a disaster. They either knew of you before, or someone, a consultant, or someone recommends Belfort. An insurance company recommends
mm-hmm.
Belfort. So take us through a little bit of the blow by blow. What happens next? What is it like from your perspective when a call comes in?
When a call comes in, we do as much investigation as we can over the phone. What was the nature of the disaster? Where are you physically located geographically? What are the immediate implications that you have? For example, if your basement is flooded, that type of stuff, you need to get the water out of there, that type of stuff. We will then send immediately a crew with an individual who is an estimator. We'll go out there and we'll take care of the emergency work. For example, we'll board up windows. We'll cover roofs that are exposed. We'll do whatever is necessary to mitigate the loss at that point so it gets no worse than it is at that point. Then we start the emergency response, which is to get out as much of the debris or the contaminant, like water, okay, to reduce the impact. At the same time, an estimator is taking a look at the extent of damage that we're dealing with. Is it just water? Is it fire? Are there structural issues that we're going to need an engineer for? Things of that nature. And we put together an extensive room-by-room estimate of what it will cost to do the repairs. Now, that's important because it becomes the guideline for what's going to happen in the future, but it also is the first point of conversation with the insurance company for our client. Here's the extent of damage. Here's the costs that we're looking at. So the insurance company can set up the reserves that are necessary, okay, and give our client a preliminary check to start the recovery process. Okay. Then once that's approved, the insurance company agrees that's the extent of damage, that's a fair value to recover the assets. Then we bring in a full-blown team to actually physically start the repair work. It's important to understand that there are some investigative processes, like structural integrity, that may need to be done. Belfour does not employ engineers on purpose. We ask the client to hire engineers to come in and say, this is the structural issues that have to be addressed, and here's how to address them. It's our job to do that work, be double-checked by the engineer, and then the engineer issues a report to our client. So he's got a third party who said that work needed to be done. Belfour did the work. They did it properly. Everything's fine. And the client can put that in their file if there's ever a question in the future. Instead of us having engineers saying, this is the amount of work that needs to be done, we'll do it for you. And yeah, we did it right, too.
Yeah, right.
By having a third party there, it gives them an extra amount of security and confidence that when their people come back to work, everybody's safe.
I see.
Then it's just a matter of execution, of getting the work done, getting it done on a timely basis. Now, this is somewhat unique in the construction industry. When people are building buildings or homes and so forth, they do it in a sequential fashion. By that, I mean certain trades follow other trades in order to complete a structure. In the disaster response business, it's different. We start with an end date that you need, and then we manipulate the various trade experts to get that done by that date. And in many instances, that means plumbers are working next to electricians, okay, or carpenters are working while electricians are wiring a building. They have to work side by side in order to meet the deadline. Do you follow the difference here? We start with an end date rather than in normal construction, we evolve to an end date. There's a big difference in disaster work. If a hotel needs to have the ballroom by June 1st, we start at June 1st, and then we start to develop protocols that'll deliver that facility by June 1st. And that may mean different trades have to work in different schedules.
Now, that sounds very, like, that would be very time-consuming to put together a program like that, which is completely unique for that particular client, completely unique for that circumstance, that set of buildings, that particular disaster profile, whether it be a flood or a fire and so forth. So given that it's so unique, has Belfour developed any software that they use to help plan these things, or is it all just people power?
We use a software product that the insurance industry contributes to for pricing the value of the work. But the actual scheduling and so forth is done by individuals who have a tremendous amount of expertise in this because they've done it for years and years.
Mm-hmm.
Our people have experience in floods, earthquakes, and you mentioned it at the beginning of the show, all of that. And that gives them a tremendous amount of flexibility when they're determining what needs to be done and how it needs to be done in order to hit the completion dates.
Right. Right.
It's not something that a rookie can come in and do. And so those estimators work for years with some of our top people in order to watch them mix and match trades, techniques, protocols, and technology to achieve the end result.
So it's a traditional sort of mentor kind of a training situation, because this isn't something that people can learn in any other way, but in the midst of a disaster, being handled properly.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Our new guys work with our pros
for
a while before they're out on their own. And then we start them out with simple little jobs, a kitchen fire, things of that nature. Right. And they grow and they develop the experience base, because that experience transfers to various different jobs in different ways.
Right, right. This is fascinating, and of course I've only had contact with companies that do small bits and pieces of what Belfour does. I mean, there are companies that do water damage recovery, and
mm-hmm.
there are companies that do fire damage recovery, and there are companies that do construction and different kinds of mitigation of disasters, whether it doesn't have to be fire, well, of course, earthquake retrofitting here in California and elsewhere, but California in particular, earthquake retrofitting is a big business.
Right.
But a company that looks at the whole spectrum of technologies out there for moving a company forward past a requirement by a city that they have to, earthquake retrofit their building or something like that, Belfour can do all of that and help a company go through all of that, and has that experience and that expertise to do that. That's new.
Our strategy in putting the Belfour organization together was a corporation, or for that matter a homeowner, should only need to make one phone call. If they have to call four or five different specialists and they have to know who's good as a specialist and so forth, it's a very, very complex and demanding issue after a disaster. By calling Belfour, you get all of those expertise because of the experience that we have within the organization. In addition to that, we can do document recovery.
Mm-hmm.
We have our own freeze-dry chambers. For example, if you've got special documents or patents or formulas or something that may have become damaged in the disaster, a fire, a flood, whatever, we can help recover those for you so that you can put them back into your asset base, into your files, when the disaster's over. So by making one phone call, the estimator that comes out there can bring in a wider range of technology along with techniques to help you recover those assets that you're going to need.
Wow, this is fascinating, John. We are having a discussion with John Stagel, representing Belfour, the worldwide leader in disaster recovery and property restoration. Belfour, B-E-L-F-O-R, Belfour.com. And at this time, John, we're going to take a commercial break, and we're also going to invite people to call in if you would like to talk to John, or if you have a question, if you want to find out more about how to engage Belfour, please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. So at this time, we'd like to thank a sponsor. And Jackie, what sponsor are we thanking today?
Oh, this is a fun event. Get ready to network for a cause and have a whole lot of fun doing it. Bank of Manhattan presents LA Networking Matters' fourth annual Networking for a Cause event. Network your heart out. It matters at the Manhattan Country Club on Wednesday, February 20th. Each year, the Networking Matters Committee selects two local charities that will benefit from the event proceeds. This year's beneficiaries are the Toberman Neighborhood Center and Peninsula Seniors. It's a terrific opportunity to meet, mix, and mingle with like-minded individuals and local business owners. And you don't want to miss out on the raffle event. Corporate sponsors and local businesses provide an array of amazing items for the drawing, including hotel stays, gift certificates for restaurants, shops, and services, and merchandise from local retailers. The doors open at 5:30 p.m. and the event runs until 8:30. Pre-order tickets by Monday, February 18th, and receive a discounted rate of only $30 per person. Tickets at the door will be $35. Price includes heavy appetizers, pasta bar, one glass of beer or wine, and unlimited networking opportunities. For more information and ticket purchase, visit the website at www.lanetworkingmatters.com or contact Julaine Whalen at 310-370-0555. South Bay by Jackie is a proud media sponsor of Network Your Heart Out. It matters. It's going to be a great event.
All right, good. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I actually think I'm
going to... Everybody's going. Everybody's going to be there.
Wow.
Everybody. Yeah.
Wow. So, actually, John, we have a caller. So I'm going to bring them on the line and see what they have to say, if it's a comment or a question. And let's see. Here we go. Caller, you're on the air. Give us your first name.
Hey, my first name is Matthew, and I thank you for taking this call. And, John, I actually do have a question. The Lord has actually blessed me with the ability to have a show myself on Blog Talk Radio called Fishing for Souls Radio. But we have a ministry called Road to Redemption Ministries, and we would love to get involved with your company and maybe send some of us would love to be able to go out and help during these cleanup or the things that you do. How would we get involved?
I'm probably not the organization you need for that, and I'll tell you why. Our forte is to deal with the physical assets for a corporation in order to get them back online. We don't provide a lot of interpersonal services to the individuals who are impacted by that, because there are other organizations throughout the United States that do that, okay? And rather than try and duplicate that, we would leave that to the folks who do it better than we, okay? In the event of a Sandy up on the East Coast or something like that, right, I'm sure there are plenty of organizations that could use your support as an adjunct to what they're already trying to provide. We don't get involved in that stuff. We're pretty much strictly a physical asset type recovery organization. We had a client recently who wanted us to take care of facilities all over the United States for them and take care of all of their residents at the same time, their employees. And we said, that we don't do, okay? We're just not geared to do that, and we would do it poorly if we attempted to. So rather than do that, we would rather, you know, ask them to go to the people who are professionals in that, the Red Cross, the local churches, and other organizations like that.
That certainly brings insight, and I thank you for – I didn't mean to catch you off guard. We're already going out in July to up there to help out in New York, but I kind of just was perusing through the live shows, and I just happened to catch the tail end of it. So please forgive me if I caught you off guard.
No. You bring up a very important point. Okay, that recovery in a community, especially both for the businesses and the people and so forth, has to be a collaborative effort for a whole series and complement of organizations working together for those people. It's not one political organization, it's not one business organization or social organization that can pull off a recovery of an entire community. So your question's an excellent one. Okay, right. Simply not apropos to us, but it is apropos to the disaster environment that exists.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And I don't think that you would be bad at doing anything, because Christ says that we can do all things through him who strengthens us.
Matthew, thank you so much for calling.
Oh, thank you. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that's an interesting perspective, is he saying that they want to go out and service the needs of people and minister to people. There must be organizations that actually take volunteers and take that labor and execute that task.
That
work alongside what you are doing, which is you're responding. For instance, let's say Hurricane Sandy, you're responding to those businesses in New York, New Jersey,
Connecticut
and other places on the Eastern Seaboard that say, "Hey, we've been impacted by Hurricane Sandy. We've filed insurance claims. We've talked to professionals in the industry. Belfour's name keeps coming up. We'd like to have you come in and give us a presentation." And that's how the conversation starts. Yeah.
Right.
Can we ask the $64,000 question of
sure.
John that we ask everybody?
Absolutely.
What percentage of businesses actually pre-plan, John? I mean, I know you said that most of your stuff you do on the fly, but how many of clients do you get that actually pre-plan for this stuff?
Belfour is somewhat unique, although a lot of other restoration companies are now pursuing this. We have a special category of relationship with businesses called our Red Alert Program. And that is for businesses that have put together a plan to recover and want to pre-identify who's going to be responsible for their physical assets. We then sit down with them and put together an agreement, and there's no fee for the agreement, okay, that says, yes, we'll treat you as a preferred client so that when Sandy hits and there's a large, large regional event, you're assured that you're going to get the support you need to get your business back up and operational as quickly as possible. So we go to those preferred clients before we take calls from people we've never heard of in order to make sure that they're addressed first. There are preferred clients. Now, those people plan ahead of time for the disaster to the extent that they've identified who they want to come in quickly, who understand their company, know their priorities, and get them going again. We have conservatively several thousand of those people. Now, in the entire business community, that's a drop in the bucket. I don't know. There are plenty of statistics out there that quote different levels of preparation planning, from none at all to a little bit to comprehensive. Depending on which statistic you are quoting, you'd probably be talking about 30% of the businesses have done prior planning. Most have not. But that's not a fair comparison, Jackie, because some of those businesses are small and medium-sized businesses that don't have the assets that a large multinational corporation would have. And so it's somewhat misleading from a preparation standpoint. Yet some of those small businesses are preferred clients of ours, and as a result, okay, get preferential treatment so that they can get back up and in business quicker than the people who haven't done prior planning.
All right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's a long answer to, I'm not sure how many have.
Well, many small businesses, that think about disaster preparation and disaster recovery, they simply think, John, it's going to be too expensive. It's not something that not only we find in our budget, but we just can't think of how we can mitigate this kind of disaster. I guess they're saying we haven't prepared, we haven't planned, we don't have a disaster budget. So what do you say to businesses, small businesses, that have that attitude? Because, of course, if they don't plan to mitigate a disaster, when it happens, they're going to be out of business.
Most people come to that conclusion because they've listened to consultants, they've listened to speakers like myself, go through an extensive litany of work that needs to be done within the corporation in order to have this recovery plan. To be perfectly candid with you, that's a bunch of hooey. Mm-hmm. The plain simple fact of the matter is a company that starts with its revenue stream and trying to protect it can go a long way, okay, with just a couple of $100 in preparing for a disaster and being able to recover. Number one, most restoration companies, not all, but most restoration companies do not charge to be placed on the list of response companies for you in an event. Like Belfour, if you become a preferred client of ours, there's no fee for that. Mm-hmm. Now you've taken the first step to, who do I call if we get caught with a flood or a roof blows off, that type of stuff. I make one phone call and right away recovery process starts. Number two, I need to go through my list of who my key customers are, like the Dakota manufacturing situation.
Right.
Who are my key customers? Who do I have to protect and how do I have to protect them? Could be a simple phone call. Mm-hmm. Hey, this happened to us. We're on top of it. We'll get back to you with a status. There are a whole bunch of very inexpensive, simple processes that the small businessman can do to protect what he's built at little or no expense to him. But when you bring in a high-blown consultant who wants to create a whole business plan and a three-ring binder for you and things of that nature, all of a sudden you start looking at thousands of thousands of dollars, and the poor guy is sitting there going, I don't have the budget for that. We don't make that kind of money.
Right.
What made him successful when he started his business, the same logic and same drive, applies to recovering that business after a disaster. Planning for your business is planning for your business, whether it's after a disaster or on Tuesday, you see. But the consultants don't tell you that because many of them don't understand it and never done strategic planning for a corporation.
Right.
You see,
right.
We can keep this real, real simple. Now, what I just outlined to you won't work for General Motors. They're too extensive, too complex an organization. But for the small business guy, this doesn't have to be rocket science. And he's light years ahead when a disaster hits him.
So
for openers, he doesn't panic.
Right.
For openers, he says, oh, I know what I have to do. Here are the first two phone calls I have to make. I have to call whoever his restoration company is, and I have to call these five key clients to let them know it happened so they don't hear it from one of my competitors.
Right, right. So a small business can connect with, can begin a relationship with Belfour for free?
Sure, absolutely.
And begin the discussion?
Absolutely.
That's all that many small business people want to hear is that they can start the conversation for free and get oriented towards what their exposures are and begin the process of talking. So
I'll also give you another key issue, and I bump into this a lot. When you decide how you want to recover, remember the priorities now. Okay, what's most important to me within my organization? Sit down with your insurance broker and make sure that your insurance coverages share and reflect those same priorities so that you've got the funds to make that happen when you need to make it happen. Too many people put together an insurance policy on Tuesday and put together a recovery plan on Friday, and nobody ever sits down on Saturday and says, are these things targeted to do the same thing? When in point of fact, they should be. You see, your insurance policy is the funding mechanism for the tactics that you're thinking of implementing in the event of a disaster. But we treat them in most businesses, large businesses as well as small, okay, as two separate and totally independent responsibilities. They're not. They're linked at the hip. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, yeah. It's like having insurance without the premiums. Right?
Yeah. Don't we? Huh?
Well, it's sort of like having insurance without the premiums. If something happens, you call somebody, you know they're going to be there for you.
Yes, but they'll charge you for their services.
Well, yeah. No, but I'm talking about before the fact. You can just call Belfour and say, you know, if something happens, I want you guys to handle it.
Yep.
And you're there. So they don't have to worry about scrounging around, finding somebody in a major disaster. All of the recovery companies are going to be swamped.
You're
and
right.
The last thing you want to do is call somebody and say, sorry, we can't get to you. We have a waiting list.
Jackie, I can't tell you the number of people who call up and say, hey, we're a Red Alert client and we're in New Jersey or something, or down in New Orleans. We're a Red Alert client and we're down here in New Orleans. And the next question is, what's your name? Yep, we see you here. You're in this location. We'll have somebody over there.
That's peace of mind.
We have a client on the West Coast. Years and years and years ago, there was an earthquake up in the Seattle area. And I heard about it, and I called the client and said, don't worry. I know you have a distribution center up there. We've got an office in Seattle, and we've got people in the air already, and we'll be there within a matter of hours. And the headquarters representative said, what are you talking about? I said, well, there's an earthquake in Seattle this morning. I'll get back to you. 20 minutes later, he calls me back from the home office and says, we don't need you. It didn't affect where we are. Everything's fine. We don't need your people. How the hell do you guys do that?
Answer,
that's what we're supposed to do. You're a preferred client. We check
good
our
PR work.
Clients. See? So it's a collaborative effort. We expect you to contact us if you need us. But if it's a broad regional event, we'll be contacting you saying, do you need us? Because we've got people already moving in that direction. See? And a small business can benefit from that just as much as a large multi-state business here in the United States. It's that kind of prior planning that can make all the difference in the world in recovery time.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to cost an arm and a leg.
Hey, George, I don't know what happened to Joe.
We lost him?
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're here. Okay.
I was talking. You guys didn't hear me. I was talking. I just had my mute button on.
No. We did not hear you. But anyway, since we didn't hear from you, I was going to tell George that he needs to tell us what's going on.
Yes, he
does. Is something going on?
What's going on, George? What's going on?
I get to talk now.
Yes.
Wow, there is so much going on now in the near future. This next week, our guest next week, and we're going to somewhat keep almost the same subject rolling. We're gonna talk about disaster restoration and planning. Sean Scott from the Red Book Guide to Recovery. Sean was a contractor for a number of years and felt that he needed to put his expertise to work, and has started and authored the Red Guide to Recovery. So he's going to talk about his 30 years of disaster recovery and his book. He's down from the San Diego area, and we're going to talk about how to prepare. And we've done this in the past, but it's been quite a while since we've had another author on. So that's next Tuesday morning, Sean Scott from the Red Guide to Recovery will be here. On 2/16 for CERT members in the Manhattan Beach area, we're going to have a first aid CPR AED training class for the Red Cross. It is $70. It will be the full 7-hour training class. And you know, for anybody interested in learning this, write down right now, info@mbcerta.org. You can send me some information if you go to our website, mbcerta.org. On the main page to the left, there are links to this particular training class as well as a number of other classes. For anybody out there in the CERT or the disaster community, on February 19, 20, and 22, Area E, which is the east side of L.A. County, the Area E will have a multiple agency mass casualty incident drill in Montebello. And those 3 mornings, they're going to, it will be a transient bus accident, and they need up to 20 volunteers for people that are injured to come in for each of those days. Mm-hmm. On 2/21, the Tri-City CERT in Gardena will have their regular meeting, and that evening, one of their newest members, who is the former fire chief of Santa Monica, will chat about the farmers market disaster, the multi-casualty incident that they had back in 2003, and then they're going to practice triage and head-to-toe evaluation. That will be Jim Hone, who was the former fire chief of Santa Monica. On 2/23, if you're a Rotary member, you should be taking our CPR AED classes that we're going to be holding at 420 15th Street in Manhattan Beach. Again, you can contact me if you don't have this from your Rotary Club. On 2/23 and 3/2 in Palos Verdes, the semi-annual amateur radio training will take place those two Saturdays for both technician in the morning and general radio licenses in the afternoon. The big one coming up would be on 3/8, 9, and 10. March 8, 9, and 10, Manhattan Beach is holding their first class of 2013, our CERT class. The full 20 hours will be done in one weekend so as not to drag out your three Saturdays. And again, it's starting to fill up. We can take up to 32 people maximum. So if you're interested in learning what to do, get in touch. And then on 3/30, that is a Saturday. It is the day before Easter, but that morning from 8 to 12, we will have CPR AED training in Manhattan Beach. And these are $45 classes, and I may have just misspoke, and it may be $40, but check on our website, sorry. On 4/27, we will have an AM and a PM class, and on 6/22, we will have an AM and a PM class. For those interested in going to a benefit to support the Manhattan Beach CERT Association, on 4/13, there will be a Bayou benefit at one of our members' homes. It's $100. We will have live crawfish, a couple hundred pounds of crawfish, some deep-fried Cajun turkeys, some red beans and rice, some beignets, and all the good fixing. It is $100 a person, limited to 60 people. And we welcome some new people that haven't been coming for this number of years. And last but not least, something just in, free women's self-defense class. Hmm. This is a class designed for women by women. It is every Wednesday at 7 p.m. in the Triton Room of Fitness Evolution at 200 North Harbor Drive in Redondo Beach. And it the flyer here says, bring your daughters, mothers, sisters, nieces, and friends, and it will be empowering, informative, and fun. And Jackie, your name is on this. Are you going to spend your your Wednesday evenings now teaching? Are you teaching this? Or
Yes, I am.
Wow.
All right, Jackie, give us your information.
Well, if you have any questions, you can contact me at 310-418-6851, or you can email me at jackiebalestra@socal.rr.com. jackiebalestra@socal.rr.com. That's the Time Warner Roadrunner email address. And I assisted with a women's self-defense class last year and had a lot of fun doing it. And my turn. It's my turn to do it. So.
Oh, and I thought you were just a pretty woman. Anyway, and that's it. But if anybody that just couldn't grasp and get everything that I talked about today, George Butts here, info@mbcerta.org. And back to you, gentlemen. Whew.
Yeah. Now, George, give that email address again.
info@mbcerta.org.
Okay, that's a good one. That's a good one. Just send an email there and you'll get all the information. Wow, lots going on here, John, but what a great introduction to Belfour I think you've given for everyone out there in the listening audience.
Well, thank you.
And also, if I may, John's going to turn me on to some Belfour people from here in California that might be able to speak a little more specific about our needs also.
Excellent.
And some of the technologies we use and methodologies and so forth.
Right. Well, it's a pleasure having you. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you are thinking about protecting your business in the event of a disaster, no matter where you may be here in the U.S., you can contact Belfour at belfour.com. That's BELFOR.com. And get in touch with them, and they will engage with you and discuss the situation and what you may have to do in a disaster to keep your revenue streams going for free. They will at least discuss what some of the major issues are for you for free, so you can confidently call them and engage with them and not think that this is something that only major corporations can do. This is something that any small business person can do. Isn't that right, John?
Yeah. Now the free part is the relationship with Belfour for us to respond to your needs,
right,
not to come in and set a plan out for you. You
right.
understand that. That's,
right. Okay.
Okay. What we're trying to tell you is one of the key components to recovery is the team you put together. And to establish Belfour as part of your team does not cost anything.
Right.
And that's a key component in your response protocol afterwards.
Right. Excellent. It's, again, been a great show, and we really appreciate your coming. George, great topic. I can't wait. We're going to continue it next week.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I do. I try hard.
Yeah, it's really good. And Jackie, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
All right. Thank you. It's been a great show. John Stagel from Belfour USA. And if you'd like to get in touch with him, that's Belfour, BELFOR.com. Thank you so much for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. We really appreciate your joining us for these shows. Please find the link on Blog Talk Radio or at SouthBayByJackie.com. All right. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye now.